Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill.
All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being with us today. Our special guest this hour, as I promised, is Bill Hubbard. William S. Hubbard is the founder and the president of Hubbard & Associates, a human resources management consulting firm in the Chicago area. He's had over 20 years of experience in human resource management, including positions in industry, government, and consulting. He's the author of several books, including the one I hold in my hand right now called The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, How Far Can Managers Go? What Rights Do Employees Have? And Bill, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us, folks. Bill is also a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He is our resident human resource expert and a guy that you can talk to. You can ask a question of him about anything that you've got going on in your business with regard to your employees, how to treat them, how to get rid of them if you need to, how to hire one, whatever the issue, Bill can help you. And all you got to do is call 888-822-8255. And if you answer one of my trivia questions, he has allowed me to give away one or two of his books. So all you got to do is dial that number and give us a call. Bill, what's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I was just thinking, we're talking about the privacy book, and I just, this last week, was conducting a employer workshop at one of my clients in the Chicago area here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about drug and alcohol issues, and from there we got into workplace searches. And I was in a conference room, and the conference room happened to have a credenza. And I was just demonstrating the issue of the search and what the employer's latitude is. And I pulled open this desk drawer, and in the desk drawer was a little portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so this is employer property, and because it's employer property and we've announced our policy that we can conduct a search, what I'm doing so far is legal. And then I reached into that desk drawer and I pulled out that portfolio. And I said, but now here's an item of personal property, and let's look at our policy to see what our policy says. And the policy did not specifically say, well, we can search personal property. So I encouraged the management group there that if you are going to get into searching personal property, that you modify the policy or issue a letter that states that as well. And then I opened the portfolio, and I pulled out, and this is all by chance.
You didn't know this was going to happen?
No. I reached in there, I looked in there, and I saw what happened to be one of these little bags of silica gel that they put into electronic items.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, this is little white powder.
you're just too lucky, Bill.
And pulled it out, and everybody was literally riveted to the eyes.
I bet they were. Because from 15 feet away, it doesn't look like the silicon gel, does it?
Exactly. But it was a great little piece of kind of demonstration about the effect of it. And then, of course, we carried the discussion on from there. The bottom line issue on this thing relating to workplace searches basically is, as an employer, we can communicate to our people, this is company property or in company time, you're using company equipment, we can control it, we can use it, we can gain access to it, we can conduct searches if we need to.
And if the policy that you state in advance is that you can search their personal property while it's on your site,
right?
You can do that legally too?
That as well, unless there's a particular state law. Some of the states are a little bit more restrictive.
Yeah.
But if there's a state law that may limit that. But the key thing really is to have a specific business purpose for doing that.
Why would you want to do that? What are some scenarios that would cause? Because, you know, less people think that we're encouraging employers to be mean and snoopy. There are some legitimate reasons why an employer would want to do that.
Yeah, and certainly I'm not encouraging snooping for the sake of snooping, but
rather,
typically there's drug problems, alcohol problems, theft problems, and now workplace violence issues.
Weapons, yes.
So those are the three or four key reasons that prompt an occasional need for a search. And again, the best way to deal with that is to say to your folks, okay, here's a problem. Here's how we have to deal with that problem. One of the things that we may on occasion have to do is to conduct a search of the premises.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the key. And what that does is it puts people on notice that things are subject to search. And when you come into the workplace realizing that or expecting that and knowing what the reason is, then it's not as great of a degree of concern.
And if you include that language in a larger document,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't look like this is what I'm handing you this notice that I may search your desk and your private property. If it's all part of a larger document, which is essentially a personnel policy type of document, it doesn't hit you between the eyes like it does if you just hand them one sheet of paper that says, we may search you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah. Stand by, Bill. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, we're visiting with Bill Hubbert, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend, Bill Hubbert, William S. Hubbert. He's the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. Bill, tell our audience how they can get your book.
Well, basic information on my book is on my website, which is www.hubbert.com. Also, you can go into any one of your local bookstore. If it's not on the shelf, then ask them, and they can bring it up on their computer.
And online, too, I'm sure.
And on the
online bookstores?
Yeah, I'm sure the online bookstores have it as well.
Yep. That's great. Bill, I'm going to ask you that question. I mean, you're the employer. This guy works for you. You just don't like the guy. You just don't like him. I mean, there's just something about this guy. He just rubs you the wrong way. He's got he's got an attitude that you just can't quite put your finger on, but there's just something, the chemistry, there's just not a connection there. You just don't like the guy. Why can't I just fire him?
Well, the key issue, basically, that you're saying is, well, what, yeah, it's my company, why can't I fire him? And in most areas, we have an employment condition referred to as employment at will.
Mm-hmm.
And if an individual does not have an employment agreement or employment contract or is not in a union with a labor agreement, then basically they are an employee at will. And an employee at will, essentially under the concept of common law, historical law, can be hired or fired at any time for any reason.
Or
for no reason, yeah. So that's the essence of that part of common employment law. But to strengthen your situation and to minimize the likelihood of liability, I really recommend that you have a good, solid reason for doing it.
Well, there's another thing, and I know you talk about this all the time, Bill. There's another reason why you want to do what Bill's talking about, and that is if you're a decent human being, you're a good employer, you care about the people who work for you. They're not just pack horses. They're human beings that you've gotten to know. You know a little bit about them. You know their families. You want them to be successful. If you got the right attitude as a small business owner, your attitude is, if I make my employees successful, they will make me successful. And if you have that attitude, all the things that Bill is talking about and that we're going to continue to talk about today, all that helps you to redeem and to recover an employee who may be about to fail, who you may have to terminate or whatever. My attitude has always been, what can I do to try to recover this relationship? What can I do to try to redeem this employee?
And when you hired him, you must have thought there was some merits there, that the person was a good person to begin with.
And, exactly. And so the step... I'm sorry, go ahead, Ben.
You spend some time and money and invested in training, and they've been doing some work for you. So I would agree with you, Jim, that the first step in any employment issue should be, well, how can I salvage this?
That's right.
To get the person to work better.
And take it on as a challenge, if nothing else, because, you know, one of the biggest things that small business owners are faced with, one of the most significant things that takes time out of a small business owner's day is management of personnel. You know that. You have managers tell you that all the time, don't you?
And people issues are the things that take the most time.
Exactly. And so if you're going to be doing that, why not get good at it?
That's the point, exactly. And one of the best ways to salvage that employee is through a good performance appraisal discussion.
Let's go back and talk about some of the points that you asked, some of the questions you asked this guy. You asked for, were their performance goals defined?
Exactly. Was there some goals? Had you defined some definition of what this person should be doing? And
what would a goal look like? What would something? There are several, but what are some of the ones that you could think of?
Basically, a goal should be a measurable aspect of the job. We should be able to quantify it in some way.
I want you to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that's when we start to work. I don't want you here at 8:05. I want you here at 8, and we quit at 5. We don't quit at 4:45. We quit at 5.
So there's a very clearly defined goal. Be here every day on time at 8 o'clock when we start, and then depending upon what the job is, we need to produce X amount of widgets, or we need to handle X amount of calls.
Your sales budget for this month is $20,000.
You're expected to try to close on one order out of every six contacts, or whatever the issue might be, or maintain a profit margin of 10%. So in every aspect of the job, there's things that are done. You have a sense, as you're dealing with people, I know that's a good worker, I know that's not a good worker. Well, why? Take a step back and look at why. And basically what you're going to get back to is the quantity of work, the quality of work, the accuracy of the work that they're doing. And you have some informal sense of this, try to confirm this up with some specific guidelines that you can communicate to that employee, and then you can then kind of monitor and measure their performance against that.
Well, there's another thing, Bill, that I think is real important here from an overall company morale standpoint. If everybody knows when to go to work and when you leave, and everybody knows what sales budgets are, delivery schedules are, and all that, then if there is an employee that the boss favors over the others, then the other employees know that even the favorite employee has to be measured against the same thing, and there's no favoritism, at least in performance.
It helps to reduce it. You're right.
Yeah. All right, stand by. We've got to take a quick break, folks. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, a small business advocate. Our special guest is Bill Hubbard. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, a small business advocate. Our special guest is William S. Hubbard. Bill Hubbard is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. It's an outstanding human resource book that I recommend that you keep on your desk. And, Bill, give your website out again and give your phone number out again, too, in case anyone would like to call you and hire you.
If you have a question, be happy to talk. And the first call is, don't charge for that. Website, www.hubbard.com, and that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T. And I can be reached at the phone in my office, 630-513-9494.
And you have policy manuals available that you prepared and
produced.
Well,
I prepare personnel policy manuals. I've done a book on writing policy manuals. I've done a book on performance appraisals as well.
Okay. Outstanding resource, folks. I recommend you check him out if you need what Bill does, which is help you to manage your employees more successfully. Bill, let's talk about performance appraisals in the time we have left in the hour.
Okay, well, the key thing really is we've been talking about goals, and that's a good starting point. Define some objective, measurable performance goals. Communicate that to the employee. It might be good to put that into some sort of a job description. Here's what you're supposed to do. Here's how well you're supposed to do it. And then once a year, at least, I would suggest sit down and have a performance discussion with that employee.
On a regular basis. I mean, something that you've scheduled, right?
Exactly. A regular basis where you write up some points and identify what they're doing well, identify where they need to improve on things, and be as objective and as fair and as open as you can. And frankly, for most jobs, I would say plan on, if you have production employees, you know, in 15, 20 minutes, you can probably cover what you need to cover. For professional sales administrative employees, you might spend half an hour to an hour discussing these kinds of issues. And again, of course, consider your time, but it is important to do this so that the employee knows what's expected, how well they're doing. If they're not doing something right, you can cover what they need to do.
And the good thing about this kind of an appraisal is when it is scheduled like that, if you've got an employee that's not getting the job done, then, and of course, if they're not, you don't want to wait a year till the next performance appraisal comes around, but there's something about knowing that that's coming up that lets you know that, let's say that's in a couple of months from now, where you start collecting that information, and that is a time for you to sit down. The employee knows you're doing this, to sit down and introduce to them what your problems are with them.
Exactly. Use work samples, work issues, work examples. Part of it, I suggest, is have what I call daily performance feedback. So as you're interacting with somebody, If they've done something well, compliment them. If there's a problem, identify it or correct that. And then later on in the period, then you've got some of these examples that you can relate to in that appraisal. So you're not just giving somebody an opinionated, here's what I like you or I don't like you, but rather here's specific things about your performance, factual things that you've done. Those are accomplishments. Recognize that. Here's some errors or mistakes. Identify those. Here's a better way to do it next time.
So one of the things that I don't like to see people do, and that's give compliments on the fly. So if you catch somebody doing something good, compliment them on the fly.
Exactly.
But if you catch them doing something wrong, don't complain to them on the fly. Make that be something that you call them in and you want to talk to them about. Don't do that out in the open.
Right. It's for the critical issues in particular, that discussion should be a private discussion.
Yeah. Bill, got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you very much. You did a good job.
Thanks.
As always. Looking forward to having you back again.
Glad to be here.
All right. Thanks, Bill. All right, folks, that's William S. Hubbard, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. Right now, I got to go. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.